The staff for the prayer and the pledge, and this evening, Brother Thomas Stanley from the Shiloh Baptist Church is going to lead us in prayer. Brother Tommy.
Lord, thankful for the blessings that you gave us. Lord, pray you. Confess to you that I am unworthy and incapable of doing anything within myself. And I am grateful, Lord, that this community desires to have a blessing said and a prayer before they conduct the affairs of this community. I pray that you would be with each elected official, those that serve in whatever capacity to make this community better, and to take care of the business at hand. I thank the Lord for our first responders, our military men and women, wherever it may be, our policemen, firemen, Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. Protect them from the enemy, Lord. I thank you for this great nation we have, the freedoms we enjoy. Continue to bless us and our children, and all children of all generations receive the blessings we have, Lord. And now, Lord, as the affairs of this commission are underway, I pray, Lord, that you would be with them, guide them, direct them, give them the wisdom they need to take care of the things before them. In peace and harmony, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 The allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to thank you, Brother Tommy, for being here and leading us in prayer. Come back anytime. We appreciate all our pastors that volunteered to come lead us in prayer. I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. It's nice to have you here. A couple of rules: if you have not silenced your cell phone, if you don't mind to do that at this time, if you wish to speak this evening, raise your hand. I'd like to do a special welcome for our new commissioner, Commissioner Steve Spratty. Welcome aboard. In any way that we can help you, we'll be glad to do so.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Number three, approval of the agenda. I know of a few changes that we have. I've been asked to remove item number 11 and number 27, and also to move item number 26 to 6A. Are there any other changes at this time to the agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve the revised agenda?
I move.
Second.
We've got a motion by Commissioner Dibb, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids, public hearings, number four. The board to receive bids for the sale and cutting of planted pines and timber at Perry Foley Airport, Perry, Florida, set for this date at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
I gave you a sheet at your desk. We have two bids, the Forestry Company of Perry and HB2 Junior Logging Incorporation of Perry.
Thank you.
don't have a lump sum bid, just a lot of specifications for a forestry company. I guess they sell the timber to somebody and then they manage the land. But there's not a price there. Let me look at the other bid and see what's there. Okay, they gave theirs in separate bids to purchase and cutting of the 36.5 acres of mature planted pines is $87,852. Cost of conversion of 36.5 acres to grassland is $132,600. Total purchase of 36.5 acres of mature planted pines payable to Taylor County Board of County Commissioners is -$44,748. And their bid alternate number one is the purchase of approximately 58 acres of miscellaneous timber is $87,852. Cost of conversion of approximately 58 acres to grasslands is $207,400. And then the total purchase of approximately 58 acres of miscellaneous timber payable to the board is -$119,548.
Concerning the first one that you opened, what do we do? I don't know what we're supposed to do with this.
Do you want me to read? You must read what we've got on here, but it's for selling of the timber, their fee is 8% of the gross timber income. What to do with the land, we can manage the land clearing. You're considering using local contractors for the various phases of the site preparation. Our fee is their cost plus 10% for our management oversight. And then there's an alternative land proposal. they'll lease the land for up to 22 acres. And then they will plant the land in pines at its expense and manage it for maximum pine straw and timber production. This is no cost to the county. And then we'll pay the county an annual lease of $50 planted acre a year. It's just a proposal, I think, to manage, to sell the timber and then to manage the, if you wanted to do that lease.
And we advertised for what?
Well, I'll have to look at the bid advertisement. Because you know, to start with, you had it so that they would replant it or fix it, prepare it for a grass field, mm-hmm. for hay.
Mm-hmm.
Then the stumps have got to be removed. I'm not sure. Melanie's here, she can probably tell you because she works with
it. The bid that Mr. King gave you is in the order it should have been.
Start all over again.
The bid that Tutin's gave is correct, what they would purchase it for,
mm-hmm.
and what the conversion to grassland would be. We do not want it to be leased and planted into timber. That's not why we're doing this.
Okay, now who's going to, what about removing of the stumps and all of that so it can be planted in grass?
That's what the bid for Tutin's gave you, and he had a big deficit for them to do that.
Okay.
But they did it correctly. At no point in the bid documents did we indicate we wanted timber replanted or leased. We are trying to clear this for the solar farm and other development at the airport. Plus, over the years, FA has complained about timber at the airport.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Madam Clerk, for the 36 acres of planted pines, is two bids for the sale of the pines lump sum was $87,862.
That's for the purchase and the cutting of 36 and a half acres of mature planted thyme.
All right, now the other fence, I think 54 acres?
58.
58, that was another $87,862.
That's bid document number one, yeah.
So, this sale of the timber would be two times $87,862.
It looks like that bid document number one, all I can tell you is the purchase of approximately 58 acres of miscellaneous timber. It don't say that it's mature plenty of time, so I don't like it.
It's different sizes there.
Yeah.
That'll read it on paper, whatever. Carry on that bid.
Probably some of it's not mature, it's just the 36 and a half. So you're at a deficit, 44,748 on the 36 and a half, and you're at a deficit on 58, 119,548.
Now, it's my understanding when we went into the, at the commission, it's my understanding when we did this RFP that we could choose the sale of timber and not the land clearing. Am I still correct in that information that I think it was given?
Yes.
We talked about that.
That's correct. And I was sitting here, we're going to have a bid committee meeting, but what we may want to do is accept the sales price on both, but maybe just go ahead and convert the 36 acres and see what we can work out on the miscellaneous. Because the 36 acres was the primary areas that we wanted it converted to grassland. So we may want to take a look at doing that because you have that drawing to do that.
You really get a good price on your timber by $2,500 an acre, but it's kind of figured out.
And we could afford then to go on and convert that 36 acres of grassland and still get a profit and go work with them on what do we want to do on the 68, but that would give you the money to convert that main parcel that you wanted to convert.
But then again, we could get the timber cut, let them come right out there.
And you could on a 68, but that 36, that's the primary area that we need to convert to have enough area for that solar farm.
Right.
And like I said, we would still have a profit, so that would be a very good solution for us to have the money to do that. Still, you would still be making a profit of about $50,000.
How much? 50?
Mm-hmm.
50? So there wouldn't be a deficit?
No, there would not be a deficit if we did it that way. And I think we're accomplishing what we need to get done for that solar farm and the other opportunities we know of. And that 68 acres, it's not so critical. We have the time to let that rot and do what it needs to do. So I think if we go that route, it'd be a win-win. We're accomplishing what we want and still make some money.
Would we have to rebid that to do it that way, split it up like that?
It reads, there's a thing on there that says you can select however you want. I can't tell you the professional verbiage off the top of my head, but we set it up that way so that you can pick and choose.
Now, if we're not satisfied with the land clearing part, we can rebid that part?
Yes, you can.
And then I suggest we turn it over to a bid committee and then come back.
And see what we can come up with and make it. We can make a couple recommendations, like to just accept the purchase, but I really recommend that 36 acres is critical for what we want to accomplish out there to move forward with that part of it, since we know we still can make a profit.
Would you tell us who the bid committee is?
It's myself, Ward Kettering, and AFCON. I want to use them because they've worked with other airports on this, and they'll have to get approval from FAA and FDOT on our behalf. And I told Hank. I wanted to have Hank, because Hank is going to be working with us on clearing an area for some of the debris to be removed to. So he's going to be working with us on that. And I also told Luanda before the meeting, I believe our agenda item said next meeting, but I think we need more time to make sure we're making a good recommendation. And since, and I'm on vacation this week, I came tonight for this, but I want us to have time for them to talk to FAA, for us to make sure we're making a really good recommendation to y'all.
Now, we're talking about 94 acres altogether, 36 acres of the one planted pine.
68.
58 of the.
60.
104.
104?
Isn't it 68?
58, 36?
58, 36.
94.
Okay.
Madam Chair, could I clarify that the logging operation will be taking the whole trees and we'll be leaving tops and that kind of trash in, on the property?
That's why it's so expensive. Even with that, if we don't do the 58 acres, it would still remove all the debris. And that's required of us by FAA and FDOT.
What I understood, they were going to make the residue left, put it in a low spot at the airport.
Uh-huh.
The stumps that they dig up never leave the airport. They go into that low area there and run away there.
We're going to have them removed to across the road. We own land behind RDS, and we're going to Hank's going to help clear an area there that's low, and he's going to dig it down a little bit further, and we're going to move them over there because we don't use that property at all. It's offside of any future development, and Hank was actually checking into the possibility of even burning it with a burn fan. He felt like he could get from somewhere to burn it quickly so that we don't have that, but we're going to make sure that it doesn't impact the neighborhood over there in any way, it doesn't impact aviation, and that we can accomplish the whole reason that we're doing this. So we're being really, really careful, and Hank's been great so far and full of ideas, and I think, you know, that would be beneficial to us too.
Well, I'll make one comment. I've had some conversations with a person in the timber business and the land clearing business who did not secure a bid. And he says you're tripling your cost of clearing the stumps up by having to load them in a dump truck and haul them over to another site. Because you only can haul 5 or 6 in a dump truck. And so he was hesitant to even put in a bid because he says it's an exorbitant cost. My question is, why can't you burn the stumps? You know, like we see them clean up, file them in a pile, burn them. There may be some FAA regulation that I'm not aware of.
There it is.
Smoke.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I had one logger say, well, why can't we take it to that pond area over there? It's a designated wetland, and we also know there are some environmental issues there, so we cannot use that. But I've had questions for, why can't I use that area? Because we can't. And that's the same area. If we, when we talked about runway extension, we would have to do some extensive environmental permitting there.
That was a man-made park back there, so it's not just environmental. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be more environmental friendly than it was original pond, you know. But they could back them around the edge of it without getting into the water, you know, they had to, without getting any issues, I believe.
Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
I would caution you on the trench over there. I think that's part of DOT's drainage area, so you'd need to burn it if you just couldn't leave it over there, of course.
Yeah, we're trying to be really careful because there are a lot. And even John Collins brought up near that area, you know, we had to pay the $4,000 to have the gopher tortoise relocated, and you're encroaching on a big gopher tortoise area over in that too. So we would be in the having $4,000 plus bills for every gopher tortoise.
I've had some people to question me about the probability of the solar plant. Mm-hmm. Can you remind everyone of what we expect to make from the solar farm?
Well, we have a potential, and Mr. Moody can actually tell you more about some of the potential, but DOT and FAA considered it a viable option to make the airport more self-sufficient. A lot of airports have the solar farms and even use some of the power for their own. I know Gainesville solely operated off of their solar farm for their power. But you have the potential to lease it for $2,500 up an acre with no maintenance. You just provide the land for the lease. And so we know that there's a great deal of potential there. FAA and FDOT supported a feasibility study, and it was 100% funded with an FDOT grant that they supported the project. So.
And we wouldn't have to put a penny into the solar field. All it would be, we'd be getting a check from them. They would tie into the, they would put the field in if we had it cleaned up like we're talking about. They would do all the work, and they would put the, they would extend the line over to the main junction line that they need to go to and all that. And the price would vary from $1,000 an acre up to $2,500 an acre.
Is that yearly?
Different companies have got different prices.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yes,
that yearly?
Annually.
Annually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's become a big thing in a lot of general aviation airports and your main airports. I know I fly into Indianapolis Airport, and it's the largest solar airport farm in the world at that airport. So. But it could be a big money maker for us with
no investment
or no staff maintenance time or oversight.
Mm-hmm. And they'll keep it up too. They'll keep it mowed and clean and sprayed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be a blessing for everyone.
So, not the next meeting, but the one after that, do you think that the bid committee will come back and get recommendations?
I will commit that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Item number 5, the board to receive proposals for construction of office building at the Taylor County Public Works compound set for this date at 6:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
I gave you a sheet at the desk. We only have one bid with fiber industries incorporated in the federal park. And I would let the board know that you have a policy that states that if there are any bids delivered to the park after the deadline, which was 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, we were not to accept them and return them to the bidder. And the other bidder's bid was returned because it wasn't scheduled this morning. Option 1 is $30,486. Option 2 is $85,057. Option 3 is $16,119. Option 4 is $14,542. The total bid is $195,376. And I checked today, y'all have budgeted $100,000 that year.
Do we want to re-bid?
If we are 149,000 all over bid, vote so.
95,376.
Chair, there are several options there. Are they options that can be eliminated, or what's the purpose of the option?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'd probably like to explore the options and maybe bring it back to next meeting. Sure.
Okay, so you'll bring it back next meeting then?
Yeah. We have a big committee that would like to come in.
Do we have the right to rebid it too?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Being there for the one bid?
You have the right to reject any and all bids, but generally speaking, what you do is you appoint a bid committee to take it, and they'll make a recommendation to you, and you can take that recommendation, or you can say, you know, we're not going to take that recommendation.
Okay. Who's the bid committee?
Hank, Danny, and Scott.
Okay, so y'all will bring it back to us next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you going to rebid it? I mean,
let's see what the bid committee recommends.
Right.
And then when they come back, if we don't like that, then we have the option.
I thought you were just saying that was one bid.
Right, but we can see what the bid committee says.
Okay.
And next meeting, and then if we don't agree with that, if we're going to do something different, we can.
What you're saying, Jim, is it might be that the parts of it, we cut it down like our engineer does on roads and so forth. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Give them a bid committee to make a recommendation on that. Since you only had one bid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No one else was interested.
Well, we got the one that was late.
Yeah, but they were late.
Right, so it didn't count.
Before we go,
sure.
One was $49,000. That was the question. Is that for the building alone? Don't know.
Well, they're different options, so we'd have to look at these different options. Apparently, $49,000 must be the base of something that we're at, and then we're adding down to it on top of that. So.
Okay.
We have to look at all.
Yeah, this one was $14,000, a built option of a building for a building, too, was one of the options to get on.
You know, it's
15,000.
The base bid includes construct a 2,000 square foot steel building in accordance with the following specs, and that gets your building. Option one is to provide a 2-inch by 4-inch frame exterior and interior walls for all walls depicted on floor plans. And two was to install, finish, and paint 5/8-inch drywall on all its interior wall surfaces. Install water resistant wall covering in the restroom areas. Three is to install, and there's some other things that's involved, but this is three is to install 2 coats of Sherwin-Williams paint, floor finish, and throughout the break room and kitchen area. And option four is to install a 6-foot by 6-foot landing at the office entrance door.
We'll have to look and see what.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the board? If not, we'll go to item number six. The board to hold a public hearing set for this date at 6:10 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to update the public and receive input as to the status of the local transportation disadvantage program.
As I say every year, this is my very, very favorite program, and y'all truly make my job worthwhile. You are my heroes. So thank you so much for being here. Last year, provided transportation to 17,651 individuals. Of those trips, 6,446 were for medical, 3,869 were for people to get to employment, 3,834 were to get to education, 54 for nutrition, and 3,448,000 were for life-sustaining purposes. We had zero accidents this year, and we had zero complaints on unmet needs. So I will let the public speak, but this is just such an important program, and it's real. It's for people to have a good life.
Yes, if you'll come forward, state your name and address.
Hi, Mary Wallace, 163 Jackson Road, Perry. Most of us don't think anything about jumping in our car, going to the grocery store, going to the doctor's appointment. People who are using the services, most of them don't have that luxury. And I just wanted to say, it's very needed, you know, even Special Olympic athletes to get to practice and, you know, that's enjoyment they have. And we need to continue that, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to come speak? Now's the time. Yes.
Yes. Rose Stutz. I live at 811 Cedar Court here in Perry. I am fortunate to ride both the shuttle and Big Ben. The shuttle for my personal use to get to the doctor, to get to the store, to get to where I need to go. And Big Ben take me with my athletes to get to practice and to where we need to go. And I want to thank you all because this is so desperately needed here in this county. And these kids and I all appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Lisa Greer. And also that the shuttle, it helps people that need to go place to place to the doctor. And the shelter gives a lot of people in the community. I really appreciate that y'all have that shelter. Some people don't have cars, and some people don't have nowhere to get around. But that shelter is a big help for people. And I really appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Geraldine Sparrow, and I work at the SNAP program, Deaf Peoples, and we're asking y'all to please, the ones that comes in to us, they come from 7:30 to 1 in the afternoon, and they need to ride back and forth home into SNAP, and please consider that for them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Leslie Sunderland, I'm the volunteer director for Special Olympics here in town. And Big Ben is awesome for them. I schedule the rides for them to come to practice. Without them, a lot of them won't be able to come to practice every week. And it's a blessing for the athletes, too, because they really look forward to coming and being able to participate in sports where anywhere else they couldn't do that. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to come and speak? If not, I can tell you for sure and certain that this board supports this program 100%. And as long as I'm here, I'll always support it. I think it's a wonderful program. It's much needed. And I'm just so happy that we can help with it. Anybody else?
I'll tell you what. I sit on the board for the county commissioners, and I'm pleased with what I hear. When we have a meeting, the meeting is orderly and more appreciative of anything I've ever seen in my life. So I support it too.
I'd like to say I support this program. It's much needed, as we've heard you state. And as long as I'm here, I'll continue to support it. It's very worthwhile.
As long as I'm here, you can. That I'll be behind 100%.
Madam Chair, I will be too. Melanie, if I could ask you a question, please. Is there a difference between Big Ben Transit and the shuttle? Or are they?
They're all one and the same.
Okay.
We have what we go out for bids for, community transportation coordinator, every 3 years. It's a requirement by the state, and Big Ben Transit's our community transportation coordinator.
And did I hear that you're working to try to bring availability to the Steamhatchee area or the beaches more?
That's correct. I actually had gotten a quote on the shuttle going down there one day a week and making all the stops, and it is doable within the budget that we have.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I also want to let you know, and I know Rosie took advantage of this, Mr. Conrad is who funded the holiday show this year, so everyone can ride free. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much. And again, thank y'all. You truly make my job worthwhile. You're the best, and thank you for your support. I'm Sharon Kelly, GeoBlocks 937.
Actually, this is my 19th year in SNAP program. And this is the way they get school, to be able to socialize them with their friends and to special Olympics.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Anyone else? Okay, well, I want you to know you're all so special. And thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to go next to 6A. The board to consider approval of revised draft pipeline easement agreement between Taylor County. Okay, I'll start over with 6A. The board to consider approval of revised draft pipeline easement agreement between Taylor County and Georgia Pacific as agended by the county attorney. Mr. Bishop?
If y'all would remember that y'all did agree to sign this easement upon approval, and I negotiated with them, the one thing that I was wanting to make sure of, if you'll look on paragraph 5 of the proposed easement, was that I wanted to make sure that if there was any litigation between the grantor and the grantee, that it would be located in the courts of Taylor County. They wanted to say about the United States District Court in Tallahassee or either or, and I said I held firm on that. And also, I think, too, there was very small font on the description, and if you'll look at it, there's still small font, but on the second page of it, they've got bigger fonts for the description of the easement. So y'all had already, so it's got my approval, so.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
I move.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Dips and a second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion?
I'd like to ask one question.
Yes.
Is there going to be any issues with that little bit of change? I mean,
you mean the amendment as amendment? Oh, no issue at all.
No. Okay.
No, our attorney's already reviewed it. He's happy.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a issue. We didn't want to hold y'all up in any kind of way.
No, sir, and I appreciate it.
Which is right. Yeah. Thanks.
It was a fun negotiation.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
For my information, when are you planning to start?
We're reviewing bids right now, and the schedule could be anywhere from starting in October to starting in January. So somewhere between those dates, depending on the bidder we select. So, same.
But you can go ahead and sign it. We're going to go ahead and sign it, y'all.
Next.
Okay.
Very good.
Where is it?
We're going to vote.
We did vote.
Yes.
Okay. Send your
packet. No.
Yeah, here. Somebody have a packet. I don't get a packet. Mine comes via the
email.
Yes.
Okay. Anime Scott.
Probably in this time for you to sign it for Jamie.
Do you want to carry it with you?
Sure.
Or I'll have a seal
or
not.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I haven't had to look at
it. Would tomorrow be okay then?
Yeah,
be
fine.
Thank you. You're welcome. Consent items 7 through 10. Is there a motion?
I move.
There's a motion by Commissioner Gantz, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public request number 11 was removed from the agenda. Next is hospital items number 12. The board could consider appointment of two members to the Doctors Memorial DMH board as requested by Thomas Stone, CEO.
I'm handing out. And don't forget to date it. Sign your name.
I just want to tell you,
I should be probably doesn't need to do that because your sister's going to have it.
I withdraw. Voting on that.
Sign the paper.
Okay. I just want to tell y'all that when we have these ballots like this, that they are open to the public to see them. So after the meeting, if you wish to see how we voted, you may see our Madam Clerk. Or if you don't, you can always go to her office and view how we voted.
Are y'all reading that rank is, when you rank it, you give them one, that's the best, second best is number two, et cetera.
Three, number two.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, could you tell us who the applicants are?
Yes, I can. Sure can. Okay, they're Priscilla Tripp, Doris Sparkman, Bill Rhines, and Janine Ramey. And we sure appreciate these volunteers to serve on this board. I know it's a task. Thank you. When you're ready, Mr. Bishop, let us know.
I'll do that. We'll try and do the higher math.
Okay. We'll move on to county staff item number 13. The board to consider approval of a sealed bid auction for the sale of boat docks as agended by Teresa Coglin, IT director.
Teresa is not here tonight, so I'm going to attempt to field any questions that you may have. From my understanding, when the county purchased the property for the Steinhatchee Boat Ramp, we acquired docks that were on site, and we would like, they're not part of our inventory. What we would like to do is to be able to auction them so the public can have access to them. They've been stored out at our public works department for several years. And what we would like to do is bring them out for display. We would like to run two ads in the paper and then accept field bids up to May 25th and open them on the 28th.
So May 25th is the deadline for bid,
yes,
and then they'll be open on May the 28th.
Yes.
Okay, and how many of these are there?
A lot. We have 24 3-foot by 20-foot.
I remember reading that.
We have 28 4-foot by 20-foot and 6 6-foot by 30-foot docks. They're aluminum docks.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, Sam. Mm-hmm.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Can the citizen bid on one or two or three, or do you have to bid on the whole lot?
We considered selling them by lot, but decided that if we did that, it would really limit the members of the public to have access to these. We're not limiting how many someone can bid on. So if they want to bid on 20 or 30, they would just submit 20 or 30 individual bids.
Now,
we will have them numbered.
Second question, you're going to have each dock numbered?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So if I want one of them specific size, I go out there and look and be a little better looking.
Correct.
Okay.
And when will they be on display? Beginning when?
We are pulling them out now. We're planning to run an ad in the paper probably starting next week, so we can have two consecutive weeks. And about the time it hits the paper, we're hoping to have them pulled out. We're going to encourage people in the ad to call the Public Works Department so they can schedule some time, or either we'll have it accessible to the public. So if they want to drive in, like on Friday when the Public Works Department is closed, we'll be able to instruct them which entrance to use.
So will there be someone there to, so is this, how are you going to do that? Is this going to be one of the road department employees?
Yes,
or?
Ma'am.
Okay, so will we have it overtime or?
No, ma'am. We'll work out the schedule. We were, this is new for us, so we're still trying to work out some of the details. My understanding is that we'll work out a schedule that we'll advertise of what days they'll be open for public viewing.
And times?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Will it run in both papers next week, Wednesday and Friday, and the next week, Wednesday and Friday, or just Wednesdays?
We are hoping for Wednesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
And we'll put it on our website, and we'll try to get the word out as much as we can.
Now, if an individual only needed one doc, is anything to prohibit this person from submitting a bid on every single doc out? You know? And certainly somewhere he might get one.
Well, my only concern is if that individual was the lowest bid on all of them.
Well, certainly if they did that, they would know that if they won the bid, they would be
the proud owner of it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Good dollar on it, all of it, you might get one.
But my thought would be that if someone was the lowest bid and then did not pay for the dock, that we could go to the next person in line. We would have record of who the next bidder was. So if we did not receive payment for a bid, we would certainly go to the next bidder and offer it to them.
We're going to open the bid here?
Yes, sir.
All 100 of them or whatever?
Yes, sir.
They could almost put them out front there in the parking area. Stack them up out there so people could see them anytime, because it would take a piece of equipment to load one and haul it off anyway.
I'll see if there's a lot of docks. So we are pulling them out now because they've been stored for so long. But I'll see if there's a way that we can stage it so people can look at them but not take up too much room.
Not take up a lot of people's time.
Somebody get hurt on them.
The liability of them going in there climbing around.
And we have over 50 docks, so it's a lot of docks.
Probably haven't got that much room.
Question.
Probably out front. They should stack them out front of the jail there.
Can you tell me why they're obsolete or why we're getting rid of them? And are they just too small for our use anymore?
My understanding is that we've had them for years and have never found a way to utilize them. So we would like to offer them to the public. They've never been part of our inventory. So I think we just really didn't know exactly what to do with them. This is kind of an odd situation. So we're not asking, you know, they're not surplus because they've never been on the inventory. We would just like to offer them. I believe that if we had a purpose for them, we would have been able to utilize them, certainly now. And we've just never found an opportunity to use them. Now, as we're sorting through them, I would think that if we, you know, if something comes up, now that everyone's thinking about it, if something comes up and we have a project that we need to use some on, I don't know why we couldn't pull those for our own use for county projects, sure. But I really can't think of anywhere we need them right now.
I usually check them before we do anything.
Right.
Most of them are narrow or have an existing wooden decking, which we should kind of stray away from because of litigation possibilities.
You've been here a long time. Where did they come from?
When we acquired this Dunashi boat ramp property, that was some of the east west and the finger docks that were there before. So we
okay.
They were ours because of the acquisition.
All right. Thank you.
copy myself.
And so, on this item 13, then, do we need a motion to?
Just a bit.
Yeah.
I was doing math when y'all were doing it, but I think I heard enough. You probably, in the abundance of caution, being try as I am sometimes, since they are obsolete, then you can declare that they're surplus if they are obsolete.
And they've never been on our inventory. So.
Well, you got them, don't you?
We do. The process is when we have inventory of a certain, you know, of a certain value, we go through a process where they're declared obsolete by the board, and then we're able to dispose of them. So this is all rolled up into one item. We're asking for permission to sell them because they are obsolete.
Well, why don't you ask them to vote and say that they are obsolete?
Okay.
Or maybe surplus.
Yeah, and that makes them surplus. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Just so, you know, years down the road, if somebody's reading the minutes, that y'all did that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's a good thing.
That you're not just... Not just doing it on a whim, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
So do we want to classify them as obsolete or surplus?
Well, if they are obsolete, if you vote they are obsolete, then they would be surplus, right? So it's kind of a, you know, you could say, okay, vote that they're obsolete, and then say, okay, we're declaring them surplus. Do too.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation that they're obsolete, and that we move, declare them surplus. And
do it all in one motion. We can do it all in one motion.
Okay. Second.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Spradley, a second by Commissioner Dents. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And I do believe that Mr. Bishop has the results of our BMH board members.
Well, my handy dandy checker was busy talking to y'all, but I think I got it right. Your two members are Bill Bryans and Priscilla Tripp. I did a tabulation, and these are the votes. And of course, anybody wants to look at them, they certainly can.
Did everybody hear that? Okay, now, is there a motion to accept Bill Bryans and Priscilla Tripp?
I so move.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempse. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And congratulations to Bill Bryans and Priscilla Tripp.
Get
Yeah. Okay, item 14. The board to consider approval of request for proposal documentation / advertising for the removal of asbestos at the old hospital facility as agended by Danny Kline, county building official.
We have talked about this at a previous workshop and going down our projects list. We'd like to go out for bid in order to find out what the project is and remove that asbestos. So that we'll know, is it 200,000, is it 600,000? What are some potential things that we can do with building?
And the funding source would be what?
Yeah.
There's no budget funds for it, and the estimated impact is 500,000 to 750,000.
But we don't know for certain. And there are no funding sources, so funding sources would have to be determined. You're not under any obligation to do this project.
Okay, I'm assuming that this, maybe some of the sales tax could, you know, be...
Possibly, or we could possibly go to the state for some kind of development funds.
Well, the first thing we need to do is get a number.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the bid documents. Or based on the removal of that, that's
what we
did you say that? Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion?
I got one thing to say. We've had another group real interested in that building. Mm-hmm. If that stuff is removed. And they seem real interested. You know, we've had several people over the years interested in it. This group they would like to make a training center out of it for law enforcement and military type training. And the city police and them used to use it as a training site at one time before they realized they had it up. This fellow was real interested in it. Ted spent a little time with him. He's his company. They went and looked at it and everything. If we get the stuff removed, we might get rid of it. And that'd be a blessing.
Well, excuse me, one more thing for clarification. This is just to remove the asbestos, not to remove it and demolish the building.
Not to demolish the building, just asbestos removal. There's companies that actually I contacted that they feel like they could do it a lot cheaper than the bids we had in the past. There's a lot more to that asbestos removal than people realize, but that price they gave us was way off base compared to stuff I've worked on getting that stuff with jobs at the mill and stuff and done research on it. It was way too high, you know. And I think we're going to get it a lot cheaper.
Appreciate your work on that, Commissioner.
I just want to see that building something done with it.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mm-hmm. Okay. Item number 15, the board to consider approval of the Buckeye Artificial Reef Monitoring Florida Wildlife Commission FWC grant contract and to serve as the fiscal agent as agenda by Clay Olson, County Extension Director. Ms. Olson?
Yes, ma'am. So in your packet, you had a copy of the grant and of the contract. This is not new. Mr. Bishop likes to have the venue changed, but they're usually not very, you know, forgiving of that. So basically what we're after is for you to approve the grant and serve as a fiscal agent as you usually do. It's a reimbursement grant. I think, Victor, it's 20,000?
16,000.
16,000. 16. And so the issue with the artificial reef construction is that many of the state agencies that are pouring money into this don't know for certain what is going on with these reefs. So how are fish populations changing? You know, how fast are they aggregating population, the size of the fish? And so they're real happy that they have a group of people here in the county that want to do the monitoring. Victor has put out a call to some divers. We have about 74 divers at the latest count that are willing to help us do that. And so we hope to be able to engage those volunteers and some other. Mr. Moody's been involved in some shallow water reef efforts. We have some criticism on this artificial reef program. So many of them are offshore that small boats can't get to them. So we hope that with this outpouring, you might say, of volunteers that we can get some of that done. University of Florida is helping us, and FWC is helping us with what's called side scan sonar, which gives us a picture of the bottom, which helps us to determine where we might deploy reefs, where we might ask the Corps of Engineers for permits. So that's what we're up to.
Okay, and in the end, there would be no cost to the county in the end.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, certainly this would help with our tourism, especially with our local people, too. So,
The state says that for every dollar that is invested in artificial reefs, it returns so much to the local economy. In the Palm Beach area, they say it's over $100 for every dollar spent. Mm-hmm. And I said to the state, I said, well, if it generates 5 or 10 in our economy for every dollar spent, we'd be happy about that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We spent several $100,000 in the last few years on the Buckeye Reef, on the Steinhatchee Reef. We hope to be able to re-permit the Anscott-Andre Reef, which is only 8 miles offshore. So Victor has done a great job in initiating this work and writing the grant and working all the ins and outs of, you know, this wording's wrong, and getting it all together. So we're at a point now where we're ready to go.
But what people really don't realize about reefs is there's a migration of fish when the season changes down that coast out there. When they come to a reef, they hang up there because that reef holds all the bait that they're wanting to eat, you know. And it just stops them in Taylor County, is what it's doing, and people can catch them. See them going on to Panama City, turning around and coming back right here in the fall, they'll have a place to stop right here. COVID is one of the major things that a reef can be there a week. Years back in the day, people used to put over ice boxes and they'd get them Winn-Dixie carts and things like that and throw them out. In a week's time, there'd be COVID hanging around.
Wow.
In a week.
So structure, and so the other thing that we look for is a place where there's not any live bottom. So one of the criteria for these reefs to go out is that there's no live bottom there, the sand is just so deep, so what you put out there won't sink away, and you know the tide won't shift around and move it. So there's quite a bit, the divers are really a critical part of this that help us identify sites, and now they're gonna help us identify what's out there on the Buckeye Reef, which actually is about a square mile. We've had four deployments on the Buckeye Reef, I think. At least four deployments on the Buckeye Reef during the life of it?
Yeah, four deployments, but several small deployments.
Yeah, like $60,000 deployments around the square mile, one square mile reef. So we have those, by the way, those coordinates are on your Taylor County website for public acquisition. So if they want to know where those reefs are, it's public knowledge because we spent public money doing it.
We sure appreciate y'all's work on this.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 16. The board to consider approval of contract for river entrance lights maintenance with Ken's Concrete Pumping Service, Inc., as agenda by the County Extension Director.
And so, again, in your package, you kind of got a little history of we went out for bid, the bids were real high, we rejected them, we went out again and didn't get anything, and then we got some local quotes, and this gentleman was the guy who gave us one that we thought was acceptable. So you have in your packet a copy of the contract. Some of the lights had damage in the last year's hurricane. To my knowledge, the lights are functioning fine right now, but we have a contract to make sure that they get visited once a quarter, all the light bulbs are running, all the guano is, they're solar powered, so we clean the solar panels up and get those, make sure that they're running right.
Now this will be for all the rivers, also Econfina,
Fenn Holloway, and Spring Warrior. All the rivers that have river entrance lights, there's four, and that's what the plan is.
And they'll keep them burning?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Just once a year?
I get a lot of questions and comments about that, people coming in, you know, down, especially also.
And at night. And so the other thing that I think would be a good move, myself and Kenneth and I have talked about this, is getting some of that real wide reflective, like red tape, day glow tape that people could see in the daytime. Because you really, some of them, when you get offshore and you have any kind of haze, you can't see them too good during the day, but they're meant to stay lit at night. You know, you can't see the lights in the day, but you see them at night.
We installed the day beacons as well as the solar state on it, so you have day and night visibility.
On the river entrance lights?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So that's
the two that we replaced.
Yeah, so the two that we didn't replace, which is Osceola and Ecopini, probably need some of that.
Okay, so when you have that heavy fog, will you be able to see these through that?
There's a solar sensor on those lights, and so it has to be dark enough to trigger that solar sensor to where it will flash. I can't tell you how many lumens it needs to trigger that. I don't know. So I would say, off the top of my head, I'd probably say no. Yeah. Probably say no. Because if there's enough light there that, unless it gets, you know, really dark or something. Yeah.
Well, usually with all that heavy fog, it's not dark.
Right. So I doubt that they would be triggered to flash in that.
Okay. It would probably be advisable if that was your first trip in the area not to go out on. And then they're in very conspicuous locations because we placed them where you could actually use them as navigational aids.
Yes. Yeah, they're out away from the land, probably, I don't know, 50 or 100 yards.
Never did that, more than that.
Yeah, and the placement is much better than what they were And they are a lot easier to see during the day.
You know, people will go fishing when it's foggy.
But,
well, they do or not. Are there any more questions from the board?
When people leave St. Mark, they've ended up at Keaton Beach because they didn't want to get off out there and they couldn't see the hill and they couldn't see a light and it gets dark. And they go all the way till they see lights. They go fast till they see lights. They ended up getting big before and had to catch a ride back to St. Mark's.
That's a scary ride right
I'd
there.
Like some clarification. So the bid was $9,500 annually?
Yes.
For a 3-year contract?
Yes, sir.
And the $4,750, is that what's left in this budget year?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we're asking for 2 quarters of money, and then the reason that there isn't money there is we use that money to do these no wake signs. The money that was in that budget normally comes from the
Florida
Voting and Improvement.
Voting
yeah.
Improvement.
And
yeah.
So that money got taken up with the no wake signs.
So we'll need approval of the contract and approval and asking for a budget transfer
right.
from the reserve, the Florida Voting Improvement reserves into that operational line item.
4007, I think, is the budget.
That's right.
Okay. If there are no more questions, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you.
Item 17. The board to consider recommendation of bid committee to award a contract to Langton Consulting for grant writing and program administration services for Restore Act and other applicable grants as agended by the grants director.
We received two RFQs at the April 17th board meeting. Government Services Group and Langton Consulting Firm. Langton had an average score of 79.67 and GSG had an average score of 58.67. The bid committee was Mr. Loki, Wanda, and myself, and we are recommending Langton Consulting be selected to write these grants. They can be funded through the Restore Act funding. As of April, there's currently $1,065,398.16 available, and we will immediately move forward with writing the grant for the dredging at Keaton Beach.
One question. Mm-hmm. Do they work on a percentage basis?
Yes. Yes. And we will negotiate that.
We'll negotiate that with them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you don't negotiate with number one, you do number two. Is that where this one would be?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. But I would really recommend not using number two if we can't work it out because they had absolutely no experience with the Restore program.
I agree with you. I'll move the committee's recommendation to select Langton Consulting for grant writing services.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Spradley. Yes.
Just one question. Will they prepare the contract for our review?
I will ask them if they'll do it, or I will do it and get it to you for you.
Well, I'll do it. You know, somebody's got to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a practical matter. And, mm-hmm. Using Restore Act funds is rather new to all of us. So.
Right.
So that's
and
why
I was going to return that. If not the next board meeting, the following board meeting.
That's the only question I had.
So the motion's good as it is.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to make sure that that a contract was going to be done. And
definitely. I was going to work off of like a CDBG contract, for example, because it will work the same way.
Okay. Well, any help you need, I'm around.
Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 18, the board to consider approval of notice to bidders for the upgrade airfield lighting project at the Perry Foley Airport as agenda by the grant director.
We are required by FAA to go out for bids before we're issued a grant contract from them. The project has an estimated cost of $440,000. $388,131 will be funded with an FAA grant. We do have that commitment from them. We'll just have to go through the formal process. $45,126 will be funded with an FDOT aviation grant, and I will have that contract to you at the next board meeting. And $8,743 will be funded by the board, and that's part of the FAA land issue settlement. The funding will not be required as the match from the board till after October 1, so I will be sure and include that in the upcoming budgets.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 19, the board to consider approval of the Board of Commission for the Transportation Disadvantage Planning Grant Application Form and authorization for the upcoming fiscal year 2018-2019 as agenda number grants director.
The grant is for $19,886. There is no match required, and it pays a portion of my salary, benefits, and supplies.
And what?
Office supplies.
Oh.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
Yeah, motion.
Got a resolution.
You got resolution?
A resolution involved.
Here. Yes.
I move that we ask the attorney to read the resolution by title.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Spradley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
This really doesn't have a title, so I'm going to read the first paragraph, okay?
Okay.
So, resolution of the Taylor County Board of County Commissioner here and after board hereby authorize the execution of a transportation disadvantaged planning grant agreement with the Florida Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged.
Okay.
Okay, now is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, now, do we need another motion, I guess, for the approval?
The grant application.
Say again?
The grant application.
Yes.
Motion to approve the grant application.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempse. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 20, the board to consider approval appointment of 5 members to the Hampton Springs Advisory Committee as agended by the grants director.
Well, after all of this in Hampton Springs, we have 5 applicants. We actually had 6, but one lives out of county. 2 of the 5 are family members. I am recommending them, but I don't know how y'all feel about it. They're John Davis, Lydia Davis, John Deming, William McCray, and Peggy Williams. In your resolution, you indicated it would be a 7-member board, but... And we held 2 special meetings about this, advertised it in the paper, re-advertised it in the paper, sent out emails, had it posted online.
Now, all that crying, carrying on the Facebook, and digging out rocks, and then you get to the time.
I was so disappointed, and we made a real effort to reach out to people. I called people and asked them, and I'm just so disappointed after everything that's happened.
And the chairman of the board reminded everybody before, and I got a copy of the minutes, that these 5 members come under the Sunshine Law.
That's
so true. You've got a mother and a son on that committee, and I brought it to the Lions committee. And you only have 5, so Conrad will have to do the resolution over because he had 7 people.
Or could we just have the vacancy too?
Yeah.
And continue to accept applications? Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Can we do that?
Sure.
See, last time y'all adopted the resolution, there's no names on it. So we didn't include it in the minutes. We just said that it would be done. Are you going to go back and adopt that same resolution every time, or are you going to do a separate resolution?
I would do a resolution where they appointed these folks.
These 5.
You know, y'all instruct me to do that, y'all appoint them and we can file it with a resolution.
Say that again, then.
Okay. We did, you know, y'all said prepare a resolution, and I prepared a resolution, but didn't have any applicants at that time, so I prepared it with blanks there, okay, to fill in those blanks. We might as well just do another resolution, filling in the blanks, just and putting these folks' names in there. Now, with regard to, I don't think we have. It's a husband and wife team, so mother and son. Miss Liddy and John. Okay.
And I know it's.
They're covered under the sunshine.
Yeah, I know they're covered under the sunshine. They both have came to all the committee meetings and been so supportive of Hampton Springs. I would hate to see them not.
Here's what you need
both
to do.
Included.
You need to instruct them very carefully about not discussing any or make any decision between themselves prior to any meeting.
And thus far, they've had different opinions.
Well, that's good, I reckon. Mm-hmm. Well, I really have a little bit of a problem with that, but understanding that, you know, that there weren't enough applicants anyway. You know, when y'all decided to have seven, of course you can at some point come back and change your resolution to that there only be five. You see what I'm saying? But I'm worried about that. But I think for the good of the county, you need to have a committee. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, leave it so that more people can join if they wish. And you know, any time that we form a committee like this, I think that there should be. This is just my opinion, but I think that they should be gathered, and someone officially, you know, have a session, an hour or two, or whatever it takes, to explain that sunshine law to them, so that you know there's no misunderstanding about it. And once they've attended such a meeting or whatever, and they understand it, then it's up to them what they do with it.
And I'd be glad to explain it to them once you have your first meeting, if I'm around, if you want to contact me, I'll be glad to do that.
Our next meeting, our first meeting is a week from tonight at 6 o'clock at the Historical Society, and we did bring up the sunshine at the last meeting and discuss it briefly. Mr. Lakey was there, so they are aware of it. And I thought I would pull together some training materials. We used to have a training, really good training video at the airport for airport advisor members, but I'm not sure where it's at right now. But I will make a big effort.
Madam Chair, you ready for a motion?
Yes, I am.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I don't want to table this. I go to those meetings, man, I saw the two-week meeting, but I think you need to table it and see if you can get some more people at Scott East. But I tell you, bottom line, this board will have to make a decision about Hampton Springs. I talked to Perry Grace at Park, and I promoted about the other night, and they probably don't have an interest in it. I'm just afraid this committee that we're talking about is not going to give you what you expect. That's my opinion.
Okay, I'll ask our grants director what
want to move forward with the committee, because I want to have figures ready for you for the upcoming funding cycle of the budget. So I think that's really important. The staff has been looking into costs, so they're going to have staff guiding them. Angela Castellucci has committed to me that she will attend some of the meetings, that she's been active with this. But I think it's real important. These people want to do something for Hampton Springs. And I don't think it's fair to table it when they have an interest and they're willing to work for this board.
So what is the pleasure of the board then?
I think we need to give them a chance to do it. Not really. That's my opinion.
Thank you. Okay. So it seems like it's the consensus of the board to move ahead as it is. So, okay, I guess we're at the point we need a motion. We need a motion then for
If there's five people.
Madam Chair, I move that we ask our attorney to draft a new ordinance.
Resolution.
Resolution on the Hampton Springs Advisory Committee, and to include in that resolution the five applicants that we now have. And that we provide those applicants with training and government in the sunshine.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second. I'd like to say something along with it too. We need to try to get across to them about what we talked about several times, and we hadn't done nothing about getting somebody, giving a spot there for somebody to live there, to shut the gates at dark, open the gates in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that would cut down a lot of our troubles we had. And just somebody being there with a light on, knowing they got a cell phone or a phone, you know, it would just cut down a lot of the problems we've been having.
The input I've received thus far, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of the committee yet, but the input I've received thus far across the board, that's what people would like to see happen.
Right.
And we are getting, staff is getting together the cost of what it would be to make that happen. But, and people throughout the community, that is the input I've been receiving. So
right.
I feel like that's going to be the recommendation, and we want to have good figures together.
A lot of state parks have got people living there like that. Mm-hmm. And the boat ramps that have them, I checked into that. Mm-hmm. They check when somebody doesn't pay, they put a note on their car and take a tag number. Mm-hmm. It's a state park where somebody unloads their boat and don't pay, you know. So just having somebody there will make people do a lot better than, you know, than not having somebody.
Right. And we have went to the Bureau of Historic Preservation for advice on this too. We're working with them. So, and that's actually their recommendation, and they gave us some contact information. But we're just trying to gather everything together. The meetings will be advertised where they're open to the public, so hopefully we will have people like Angela and others come from the public and give input during these meetings. I hope Miss Betty will come because she has a love for Hampton Springs, so I think we'll have some public input too.
I'll make her come.
Please.
There was discussion at one time about the possibility of it becoming a state park.
Madam Chair, I got contacted today by
so did
this park. Did you really? Okay,
yes.
Well, I'll let you go.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think it's spinoff from the meeting last week from a Stephen Cutshaw, Chief Office of Park Planning. His email reads, good afternoon, my name is Stephen Cutshaw, and I'm the Chief of the Office of Park Planning for the Florida State Parks. I was given your contact information by Joe Kahn. I'm here to assist you with any questions you may have about possibility of transference of Hampton Springs property. I did call him. He says it's a fairly simple process to start. Just send him a legal description with a request, and you can start that process. But apparently, you do have to take it to legislature.
I thought Eric Draper, head of the park, might have been able to talk to him on the phone, and I'm with him Thursday night about that possibility. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't work. Or Eric Don, he knows Don about
it. So we can start the process.
Yeah, I would not want to overlook this possibility. I think it's worth at least looking into it and what, you know, how would it save the county money but yet still maintain and keep our historic location there. And I think everybody wants that. So I hope that y'all would look into it. But yeah, good. Thank you.
I think everybody wants the park open.
Yes.
But I've had some people who expressed opposition to it being run by the state.
How many acres are we talking about? How many acres are we talking about?
I mean, the park's 30 acres.
Yeah. Well, I would say before any of us, you know, make up our mind about it, because I certainly don't have a solid opinion, because I don't know what it would take to become a state park and what would it mean afterwards. So I think it would not hurt to explore the opportunity and let us know these are the pros and these are the cons, and it may be that the cons outweigh the pros. I don't know, because I'm not familiar with that process. So,
and I'd like for the committee to tackle these issues
you know, head on, I guess, or soon, you know. Maybe it comes up and tells us, it's our recommendation that you pursue this further, and we'll, I would think we'll go in that direction.
We were at St. Mark's there, Fourth there, St. Mark's River and Walk Little River run together. Mm-hmm. They run that center there with volunteer help. You know, families go down there. There was a man down there the other day, we went down there, you know, just, I had friends in town, they wanted to see it, they heard about it, went down there, and it was a volunteer helper there at the park, and he had all the children with him, and, you know, he just volunteered to spend a day down there opening it up for everybody to see all artifacts and everything. And it's really interesting, you know, that they were running by volunteers.
As long as you've got volunteers for every day.
Right.
Because, you know, we've had a lot of vandalism and a lot of issues out there. Right. So whether you have a volunteer, whether you have somebody to live there, or whether it's a state park and they put somebody there, I mean, we need to look at all the possibilities.
Well, Kala has an on-site person that lives there. They provide them the pad and the utilities.
Right.
It's a husband and wife team with two children.
Yep.
And they volunteer. They're required to work 20 hours a month. Either the husband or wife or the two of them can do it. And the Clay County pays, like I said, for the pad and for the utilities. And they allow their volunteers to stay on site for 4 months.
Anybody want to dance?
I like to take your hammer.
Okay, we've talked so much. We had a motion and a second, right? Did we, Ms. Madam Clerk? So now we need a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, item 21, the board to consider approval of the Florida Department of Transportation Small County Outreach Program, SCOP, agreement to reconstruct, widen, and resurface Slaughter Road, County Road 359A, and resolution authorizing execution by the chair as agenda by Kenneth Dudley, County Engineer. That was a lot.
Yeah, and I will not belabor the point of repeating that either. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay, I think maybe the first thing to do is there a motion to read the resolution by title?
Probably does not have a title either.
Mm-hmm. I move ask the attorney to read the
second
resolution by first paragraph. Oh.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempsey. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
Yes, ma'am. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners have been informed that a resolution should be passed authorizing the chair of the Board of County Commissioners to enter into Florida Department of Transportation's Small County Outreach Program reimbursement agreement to reconstruct, widen, and resurface Slaughter Road, County Road 359A, from U.S. Highway 19 to Harrison Blue Road for approximately 2.3 miles.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I so move.
Who had the second? Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Okay, I did have a question. That's the last one I've got. Okay. Scoop means they do a road that was previously owned by the state.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, actually, the SCOP program it's a small county outreach program that allows the county or the municipality to actually resurface the road as well as widen the road for additional capacity. The SCRAP program, which is the Small County Rural Assistance Program, only allows resurfacing of the existing travel road. So that's the difference between the two. The SCRAP program is considered as a 100% funded program. Mm-hmm. The SCOP program is considered as a 75% reimbursement program, whereas the 25% is picked up by the local jurisdiction. But because of our economic status, we are allowed to waive that 25%.
Okay. Question, Madam Chair?
Yes.
So these roads and projects run on a 5-year cycle. Is that how that works? Or
no. What the department does, the DOT does, is they have a 5-year look ahead. that's the only aspect of the five-year cycle. So they kind of look at a five-year planning cycle of which ones are coming down, no pun intended, but down the road.
Okay, so this one been on, this is not nothing new.
No, sir. Actually, you know, if we were to go 2 or 3 years back, you'll see where this board collectively put together a priority list, submitted that to DOT, saying that this is a candidate that we would like for you to consider for okay. Support, budgetary support.
And how is the not the priority, but the determination made by DOT on when the project has potentially come around?
Yes, sir. They've even gotten a little bit more scrutinizing. Used to in the past, there were several different programs, the two that we discussed, as well as a high-risk rural road program and another one that's a TRIP program. The acronym escapes me right in a second. But what we would do is we would submit several candidates for each of those programs, and then the DOT would go through and see with the other competing jurisdictions what they could fund of that list. Now they've gotten to the point to where they say, you just give us a list of two, maybe three roads, and we'll tell you and we'll pick which program it's going to be under. Fortunate for us, you know, these were done under the SCOP program, which kind of gets rid of the headache of if we want to take these old, you know, 1970s roads that are 19 and 20 foot wide and carry them out to the 24 foot, 12 foot lanes, we don't have any issues with that.
Commissioner Spradley, I've got roads in my district that's been on the list for 8 more years that I'm still waiting. Some of them are due to be done next year and some the year after.
And you know which one I'm hearing about for 2020.
It's in the
queue. I know. It's in the queue. Thank you for sending me that.
Yeah, so it takes a long time.
Yeah, some road has been on that list.
Yeah, and this one is a little tricky. You know, I kind of went back and forth with Mr. Barney. He's the Barney Bennett is the program manager over there at DFE for District 2. And, you know, given their funding shortfall, the first thing they want to do is they want to cut it back. They want to cut the scope back. And I told him, I said, look, you know, we're not really going to design half a road. The best thing that we can do is go ahead and design the whole road and then hope for you to fund this in a sequential year. And what we've done is it's really close enough that we can do the design and solicit for bids for the entire road, but just the timing of that is going to have to overlap enough to where we can be seeking reimbursement in more than one fiscal year, more than one DOT fiscal year. So that's what we're going to try to do. He's already programmed the second half of it. He's already put it in for programming. It's just in the, I think I said the 2021 year or something like that.
And are these all, contingent on legislative funding every year?
I think every year. Well, once it's programmed, no.
Okay.
Once it's programmed, it's encumbered.
Okay.
So you have until you finish the road. Otherwise, the candidates we put in, those are subject to legislative appropriations.
Well, I'm sure all board members are hearing the same questions I am. When is my road coming up? Photo cut off over St. Peter Road, Flogger Road, all of them. Would it be possible for the board to approve to put, I used to see it in Georgia when I lived in Georgia, a sign that said this road is scheduled for SCOP funding at a certain time period, and so the citizens on that road could see that it is on the list. And
I like that idea, and unless it gets pushed, might have been pushed.
And how?
You know, so you have to do a new sign.
How does it get pushed? That would be a question. Just a priority from.
No, she's just talking about workload. Is trying to. I mean, we've got right now. We have one under active design. One under DOT review, waiting for their approval so that we can bid it out. We have another that's under a task order that's at 90% design. I solicited a proposal for another one under design, and I have two that I am designing. All of that is in the works right now. That, you know, you guys are only seeing one out there, but there's six or seven that I just mentioned that are active projects from my perspective. So on the heels of that, here's two more. Plus, there's two I didn't even mention that, you know, I have to look head and tried to figure out, okay, at what point are we going to do these? And, you know, you guys see them, and, you know, because it comes up in your mind, you have that sense of, all right, well, we're fixing to do this road. Well, you know, that's not the case, obviously. There's a lot of preparatory work that comes out when the funds are available. Then you just start the process.
So when each of us identified roads in our district that we would like to have resurfaced, and say I have one, and then 3 months later somebody else submits one, and so do you go by the list of who was the first to submit the road, or how do you choose which one you're going to design first?
Actually, what I would suggest, and I'm assuming you're talking about secondary road paving and not these programs here. So the first thing that I would, and I am aware that you are one of the only ones, I think, that actually submitted roads on the previous list back when Dustin was still here. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've tested the waters on whether that's a workshop type scenario of, you know, here's the list accumulated from all five districts. You know, we can handle the data part. Obviously, you guys are going to have to support the spending part of that. So we can assemble that, and, you know, it'd have to be a time certain. I don't think you should get to the point to where, you know, okay, we say we're going to submit all your candidate projects by, let's say, July 1, just for lack of a better day. We don't. I would not suggest that someone come in on August and that their road, even if the data dictates, you know, suddenly leapfrog a programmed list.
Yeah.
It would be much like DOTs. You know, they have a current 5-year program, and then they have a sequential or prospective 5-year program. So they're looking at this is active and this is prospective. Mm-hmm. Just because you submit one on here that has, in some people's minds, greater importance, it doesn't come and push one of those out of the way. So once you buy into a list, that list should be in concrete, and then you pick up with the next funding cycle. That's how I would approach it.
And I agree with that process.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair to go back and change that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it would probably be a good idea to start doing that kind of along the lines or timing of the budget process. It'd be a good time to discuss it because you guys are only getting about $30,000, to tell you the truth, for each district. And you know, the reality is that with costs the way they are, you're not able to do something like the old days of every few years. It's going to take several years before you amass any, you know, pot of dollars that you can actually attack a small road. So that should impress on you guys that you need to really only consider the ones that are truly have the largest public benefit when you start doing this.
When you say public benefit, what do you mean?
I mean the ones that get the best bang for the dollar, the ones that serve the greatest population, those that are cut through roads, not dead end roads, those that have larger densities per mile versus, you know, one per mile, things like that that you need to consider that's in our paving policy, which, you know, Commissioner Page had a good hand in assisting with, that let the data determine which roads you do. Take it out of your political hands and just say, you know, we're supporting this policy. Here's the ones that I believe are important. Put it in the funnel and see which one comes out the bottom.
That's right.
Yeah, there's not a week goes by that I don't have somebody mention Ash Street to me. And that's
it was in our last letter.
It's in, you know, both of our districts. Yes. And, you know, you just tell them we have to wait till it comes up and we have the funding for it.
Well, and that's what you really need to tell people is that if you use local dollars, you're spending a dollar of every dollar you have. Mm-hmm. If you take and utilize this DOT program, you might use 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
So the return to Taylor County is so much greater if we can leverage our gas tax revenues right back into this.
Yes.
So I do not suggest that you utilize secondary road paving to jump out there and do these bigger roads. You know, use that for those small local
roads. Right. Right. I agree.
Dave's been talking about two places. We've got boat ramps that bring a lot of people to Taylor County up the Fenway River and Springwood. Mm-hmm. And both of those roads from the prison down to the boat ramp, I mean down to the end of the pavement, is in bad shape.
Very narrow.
And then Spring Warrior's got a boat ramp that's used by a lot of people coming in the ferry. And some of the old Spring Warrior road is in real bad shape. and it's real near, and when somebody meets a school bus, meets a boat coming out there, somebody has wrong.
I want to say Spring Warrior was number two on our priority list that we submitted in January of this year, I think it was, January of 18. And the other one, the end of that, Peterson's Landing, I think is what you're talking about, that's not ours.
I know that, but down to the end of the pavement is ours, down to the pavement there.
Well, and you're going to see that if the pipeline project goes through as it's currently planned, at least back up the road a ways, there's a good portion of it that would be resurfaced.
Right. It's on the prison, just past the prison there, down to the end
it
of the pavement.
It doesn't end down, yes, sir.
It's in bad shape, isn't it? What me and Ted were talking about, that might be something we can restore that money, being that access to a boat ramp. We might be able to use some restore that money to fund that part of the pavement on both of those roads. So that might be something we look at in the near future. You know, that would be a way to get that done with the.
It's at least correlated with the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben's current within 25 miles of the coast.
It may not hurt to resubmit that, to tell you the truth.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
That dude was pretty, one of the, whoever it was, the senator's office or something, he was pretty aggressive about it, you know, trying to support it.
I had a really long discussion with DEP and FWC the other day. Their officials, that was at the meeting out there at Fort Scott Falls, and they feel like when Peterson's Landing business is closed for the pipeline work, the other one is going to get all the traffic. And they said it would be the time to extend that parking lot there. And George Civic Man was standing there with me, and he said, we'd be glad to donate the land. And DEP said we could work the process, being it's for the good of the general public. And he said, the state said they go, I mean, they, everybody was on base extending that parking lot there in that area to, you know, to help that boat ramp there. At the river ramp, not at the end of the road.
This is Hicks Landing?
At the river ramp.
And they were suggestive of that to us when we were walking around as well. That,
right.
You know, it may be something that they are possibly down the road, there could be improvements at Hicks Landing in exchange for not using Peterson's Landing.
Well, that's true, and they said they would give us land there to extend that parking lot. And I don't know if everybody's been down there or not, but they get Saturday during that fishing tournament, there wasn't a place to go down there. Everybody, they had the whole place filled up back at the race. And if we'd had a big parking lot, there'd been a lot more people coming and going there, you know. But they seem like they're going to work with us when it gets time to do that. So that's good.
Yeah, for a county road that's unpaved, do we still follow the same criteria that we have in terms of how long the road is, how many people live on it, the amount of traffic on it, those sort of things?
As far as the screening criteria?
Yes.
I don't think the paving policy has changed.
It's the same policy.
So I would not have a reason to change from that.
I've been here 14 years, and this is one of the first things I talked about when I got here with that policy, you remember?
I did.
We haven't changed it since.
Yes, sir.
And through these programs for the state, they don't pave roads, they just resurface roads, right?
I want to say that the definition of the SCOT program may have broadened in the last couple of years to where it expanded that it didn't necessarily have to be an original state road. It could be a municipality or county government, a political subdivision, jurisdictional road that was currently unpaved. That was a kind of a recent change.
As everybody knows, we still have a lot of unpaved roads, and just for the public, we don't pave private roads. I still hear things about that, and it's just something that we don't do.
We make every effort not to get beyond the public right of way.
Yes.
We take it very seriously.
Do you have anything else?
Did we ever approve Florida River?
I don't think so.
I think that we did the resolution. Now, is there a motion to approve
Slaughter Road.
I'll make a motion to approve Slaughter Road. I'll second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 22, the board to consider approval of the Florida Department of Transportation Small County Outreach Program SCOP agreement to reconstruct, widen, and resurface Gas Plant Road, County Road 359A, and resolution authorizing execution by the chair as agendaed by the county engineer. Is there a motion to read the resolution by title or paragraph? First paragraph.
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dix. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
Yes, ma'am. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners have been informed that a resolution should be passed authorizing the chair of the Board of County Commissioners to enter into Florida Department of Transportation Small County Outreach Program reimbursement agreement to reconstruct, widen, and resurface Gas Plant Road, so it's County Road 359A, from McDaniel Road to Pisgah Road for approximately 1.1 miles.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Yes, is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
We've got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Spradley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, now, is there a motion to approve the SCOP agreement for the Gas Plant Road? Thank you.
Motion.
Okay.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn, for all your help.
General Business Item 23, Commissioner Moody to discuss paving costs for Davis Walker Road and Potts Steel Road. Commissioner?
I would love, I have a lot of people who live on Potts Steel Road who've been contacting me over the years about getting that paved on down to the Beach Road. And I know years ago that was in a discussion and they did some surveying and about running that road on through there. And Mr. Russell, on one side of that road, back when me and him were talking about it, back during, you know, before he passed away. Now that's, we got a new commissioner in that district, so half of that's your road, that's Fox Steel Road. So we just got a lot of people that would love to see that paved all the way to the Beach Road. And if that is a shortcut to the beach, back and forth to the beach, and there's a world of traffic up. And we do a lot of maintenance on that road, and
it really needs to be paved.
And Davis Walker Road the same way. It's a thoroughfare. Everybody's coming through Potts Steel Road, especially when going to the mill. They'll turn Davis Walker Road, go to 19, go to the mill that way. You know, there's a steady line of traffic on both of those roads. And I just love to get them on the paving list and let Mr. Kemp, you know, do whatever it takes to. Get them lined up and get them on the paving there.
We've got the traffic counters. I actually got them out on Gas Plant Road today. They'll be there for a week, and then we'll move it over and do it for another week. So what we can do is, as soon as we're finished collecting the traffic information for those roads, we'll take and transfer them over to these other two to at least get kind of an idea to start populating some of the information for the screening criteria to put those two on the overall list. You know, relative to your district,
right.
To both your districts, I guess if that's something that the two of you collectively support.
Mr. Spradley?
Absolutely. I know that Postel Road is a connector road. A lot of people go through there as a shortcut. It's more convenient than my Dixon Road, really, unless you're going to Spring Warrior. And I would be interested to know, you know, what those what the traffic is on there, and then move forward with, you know, if it's justifiable to move forward with.
That's one of the primary criteria. You know, I kind of looked at some of the parcels on both those roads today. I want to say it's just under 3 miles, like 2.7, somewhere around there, miles or
about
so.
About three.
16 or so residences on the Davis Walker Road, and there's about 10, I think, on the Postal Road, kind of centrally located. So, you know, we put the traffic counter out, we collect not only volumes and seeing when and what times they're doing that, but also gives us an idea of the type of vehicles that are going through there as well, which all that plays into how well we can design.
And of course,
how long is David short?
They're both almost exactly, they're really close to the same.
Both about,
I remember being about 2.7 miles.
2.7?
Yes.
I had 3 miles.
The Davis Walker, you know, there's the largest population of the people on that road are really clustered on the southwest end. There's a few in the middle and a few right at the US 19 end, and the rest of it is still vacant lands.
Kenneth, on some places on the Sunset Road, you're going to face the issue of
driveway. Yeah, the Fossil Road is, you know, that's one that you have a large holding of Foley, Four River properties that. You have a needed easement or needed right away that goes through there that, you know, we may have to do some, hey, let's keep it where it is so we can reduce our overall cost for improvement, and we'll abandon or get rid of this other right away that we're not using anyway. Davis Walker, you're absolutely right. But one of the things that we did look at with the paving policy is, you know what, you guys say you want to pave the roads, but if you don't want to give us a right away to do it, then obviously we don't. So we move to the next one.
Move to the next
one. Yes, sir.
And Post Hill Road, you know, has had issues in the past with flooding through there, so you got to build that up if it's paved, right?
Yeah, back when Mr. Courtney was still here, you know, that was one of the first things he had taken me through there, and you know, I remember a lot of water coming through that area, so obviously drainage will be a large portion of that project, and as we all know, drainage improvements for some of those projects are not cheap. Mm-hmm. So you can see the cost of your roads going up tremendously.
Got to start somewhere.
Does this require a motion? This agenda item, does it require a motion?
Well, I don't know if anything. Why don't you, maybe the two guys support it being placed on the priority list for consideration?
Okay. I support that.
I support it.
Yeah. While we're talking roads, I know that Commissioner Patterson, her last meeting here, she made us promise that we would not forget Halk Road.
That's right. I see his program, but I don't know what program
it is. I sent a request for a task order to one of the consulting engineering firms that we work with. I want to say I received a response from them 2 weeks ago, and the costs were not reflective of what they should be. I responded back to him, and I was thinking actually earlier today, I haven't heard back from them yet, and if the response that we get back from them is not favorable, I will request a proposal from the other firm.
Yeah. I sat here for 6 years with her, and she consistently brought up Halk Road, and when she left, we promised her
that we
would not forget Halk Road. So you tell her if you see her that we have
not. Yeah, I've been getting with it also, you know, but when I saw her on the program, I said, I'm going to pray for this 2019.
She was just as tenacious with Halk Road.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I want to divert from. Through with number 23. I had a question for Kenneth about the pier. Did they get supplies, and are they getting the timbers and so forth that they needed to start construction on the pier?
Yes, sir. I talked with them actually last week. Their notice to proceed contractual date started April 30th.
Right.
They are very well aware of that time frame. I want to say that's a 5-month window for construction. They have started staging some supplies, I believe, thankfully, with Travis. They're going to use some of that gated property as a laydown yard. We've already allowed them to, which is very consistent with specifications, recover through, you see a pay request on the invoices for some of the general conditions of bonds and insurance. They're allowed to request 25% of that up front. So they are making movements towards that. They've switched some wood suppliers because of some delays. I want to say they have the poles. Some of the decking and the bent timbers were a little bit harder to get, but as far as I know, they're ready to hit the ground soon. The barge should have either started moving today from Steinhatchee towards Keeneland, or it will this week.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that update.
So it didn't move today.
Apparently. Thank you, ma'am.
Did you get the transit moved up among those pier?
The transit?
Transit.
Transient.
Person living under the pier.
He's living in the gazebo now.
He moved to the gazebo.
Yes, sir. He's still in.
Well, I talked to the sheriff last week about that, and he had been down there, and what he told me, he had instructed his deputies to, if he's there past the dark, you know, because our parks are open from daylight to dark, to do what they had to do, because he's not supposed to be there, but he's still living there at night.
Well, I haven't been there at night.
But you're hearing reports.
Yes, he is still there. Okay. I went through there. I'd heard he was under the pier. I talked to a deputy, you know, told him that's a dangerous situation. Talked to them about daylight to dark and the restrictions. And I pulled through there the other day and saw he was making, looked like he was camped out on the one of the gazebos. So.
This is a highway park?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been going on for 2 or 3 weeks.
It's the same transit guy that was here during the freeze that had walked around with the fishing pole. He's down there fishing now.
Okay.
So we'll reach back out to the sheriff and let him know he's still there.
Yeah. You want to come state your name and address? Can you come state your name and address, please? Come to the podium. I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm Karen Hazel, and I live at Keaton Beach. You want the luggage room?
No, that's
okay. I mentioned to Steve about the way they're putting the poles or
the railing.
Railing on, and it's this way right now, and it needs to go horizontal because the kids are jumping between the railings. And I've seen them jump on the rocks, back and forth on the rocks, and I've stopped a couple of them. And I'm so afraid that the county is going to be sued, some kids jumping back and forth on those rocks, and the parents are just letting it happen in many cases. So it's, to me, it's something to consider before you have a lawsuit, because there's enough space there that they're jumping back and forth on those rocks.
I did consider that, and as a safety improvement, we actually have wire mesh that is the full length. Instead of just a single mid-span runner, there is wire mesh that goes all the way down both sides.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move along to item 24, the board to discuss committee appointments for newly appointed Commissioner Spradley. Before me, I have what we approved last November, and Commissioner Russell, would it be okay if we just, you just assumed what he had? It seemed like that would be in order. As you can see here, it's the Big Bend Water Sewer, which they meet monthly, the TDC monthly, Three Rivers Library quarterly, and Equal Employment Opportunity biannual.
Yes, I can.
You can meet that.
Well, that was easy. You see anywhere on that list you want?
I'll give you 2 or 3 mine now, Steve.
Okay. All right. So if that's okay with everybody, then we'll move along. County Attorney items number 25. The county attorney to discuss repealing county ordinance 2018-04 per direction of Florida Wildlife Commission. Mr. Bishop.
Somehow we passed an ordinance before it was approved by FWC. I'm not going to say anything else about FWC. I respectfully request that y'all advertise this. I've already prepared another ordinance pursuant to their lengthy instructions, which once we get this repealed, if it's repealed, then we'll, and I've sent it to them for them to approve it. right there. It's been sent to them. So I would just respectfully request that we won't get thrown in the hoosecow that y'all advertise this to repeal ordinance number 2018-04, and I would like to compliment the clerk for alerting me to this. Ms. Annie Mae.
You're welcome.
I said, oh, no.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So if y'all have moved to...
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
To advertise.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Spradley, second by Commissioner Dimps. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 26 was moved to 6A. Item 27 was deleted, so we're now at item 28. The county administrator to discuss sewer impact fees and for Forest Capitol Hall.
I remember at your last meeting there was a sewer impact fee of $5,000 assessed by the city. I did talk to Bob Brown. He says they never forgive that fee, never have forgiven that fee. So it looks like we're going to pay it. So that being said, I think we're going to have to transfer some money to appropriate line item account.
We'll need to ask for a transfer from reserve for contingency into the Forest Capitol Hall operational account so we can pay that bill.
Yes, Commissioner Moody.
I had a question before we talked about that. It seemed like the contractor that did that job would have paid that fee when it was first. When you tie into a line, you get a permit and you pay the fee to do the initial tie-in. It seems like have you checked to see if it on that contract when they did? Yeah. We need to see if they were supposed to pay that or not. They might be supposed, that might be something they didn't meet it. Because they run that pipe from the building out to the highway, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They dug across that land out there. I guarantee you he had to get a permit, and when he got the permit to tie into that line out there, it seemed like he'd have to pay the fee in. Mm-hmm. So we can check that.
Could you get a hold of that contract and see?
Just research and see what we can do.
I mean, it just, common sense, they would have.
I would have thought they wanted that money, but can they give you a permit?
I don't think Bob Brown would let it go by him at home.
Well, you at least not be able to collect the water usage fees.
So, I mean, just check that. See, okay. We do what we got to do to keep it running, but I mean, we need to check to see if that was a part of that bid when he bid that.
Okay, so we're going to table this item to the next meeting. Is that going to be is that going to be okay?
We don't need to pay it.
We do need to pay it, but I don't know the breathing number next for if Chad Marty.
If we had to pay it, they go to bring down your neck, pay it, and then if that company's supposed to, you know, they were supposed to pay it, we can deal with them. You know, because it was a contractor did that job.
Mr. Bishop, what do you recommend?
Well, why don't you vote to pay it with the condition that the county administrator or me, that we find out that whether the contractor was supposed to pay it, because how old is this thing?
About two years.
Okay, well, we probably don't have a problem with a statute of limitations. You know, I don't. Well, we might. I have to check on Chapter 95 on that. It's got to be paid. How quick can you look at that? Pull up that contract.
No, we try to pull it up tomorrow.
Why don't you pull up the contract? Let's take a look at it.
Okay.
And kind of hold off paying on until we look at the contract. I mean, they've waited this long. It's 2 years. Yeah, I mean, goodness.
Yeah, two weeks.
That throws up a red flag when they waited 2 years to even ask you about the money.
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Exactly. I'll research the statute of limitations on that also.
The contract should address who should pay the fees. Why would there two fees involved? Connection and impact. Did they pay the connection? Why did the city not collect the impact when they collected the
Good point,
Bill. There's an issue there. We'll dig it out and see where it's going. That's just what we need to check on.
So we're going to table this?
Let's table it, I reckon. That would be the correct thing to do with
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Have a motion to table it.
Motion. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 29. The board to affirm the county administrator's selection of the community services director.
Tonight I'm asking you to confirm the choice for community services director. You might remember from our previous discussions or comments that it would be a hard position to fill. In addition to the library duties, the person being in charge of our facility rentals, promoting sports tournaments, and any other community-related functions or events. Our choice, Dick Newman, is the only applicant that serves as a community services director. Craig America was based in the 90s. In that capacity, she managed recreation staff and programs, coordinated hosts of special events, tournaments, and other such activities. She has a degree in business administration, a minor in marketing. In the late 90s, she was the founder and president of a military spouse magazine called Validity. She served in a number of business development and marketing roles. She's also highly committed to her community outreach efforts. Tonight, I'm asking you that you confirm Deidre Newman as our new community services director.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Dempse. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank Welcome. You. We're so pleased to have you. Would you like to say anything? Come talk to us.
All of you know that I'm very passionate about my community, and I'm very excited to improve the quality of life in this community, and I'm looking forward to working with you and learning to do it. Thank you.
And we look forward to working with you. If there's any way that we can help you ever, let us know.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item 30, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
Okay. I'd like to say I think we had a really good workshop Thursday this evening. Really pleased. I got a note from Sissy, the Department of Economic Affairs, says thank you all of you for your support, planning, and energy during today's 12 Counties Roundtable. Looking forward to a long and enduring partnership. That's very good on her part, and I think it's a really good workshop.
I'd like to comment on that. I was very pleased, and I felt, as I stated at the end, I felt like that they were very willing to help Taylor County in any way that they could. It was a very positive meeting, and my recommendation, of course, was to have another meeting in about 3 months, and so I think that we need probably a summary of the things that we talked about and what we need to do and what they said they'd do, and then, like I said, in 3 months, get back together. And it's so easy to have these meetings and say, oh, that was a nice meeting, and that's the end of it. But just from what I heard from these people, of so many opportunities out there, I just really like for us to take advantage of everything that we can.
Yeah, that was encouraging when we heard from the state about Hampton Springs.
Oh, yeah, I was really pleased when I got that today, too.
Yeah. That was a real good meeting.
It was.
One thing we need to do, though, maybe we need to get some way to get somebody a microphone, or when somebody speaks, we can pass the microphone.
Right? We need a portable microphone next time. I could not hear.
I'm already hearing, but I am hearing it turn up wide open, and I'm getting some of it.
Yeah, I think we need to look at it.
I got to talk to that.
Yeah, and I was going to say that too, and thank you for reminding us of that. Or somehow or another, we've got to have, we could use it another place.
Yeah, we
too.
Could. We could. We need
to. No more people than there was there. We could have probably had it right here. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, but we didn't know what was coming, you know, how many was coming, and that kind of thing. And that's a nice building, and all of we do need a mic.
Yeah, the acoustic was really bad. Well, hopefully the next meeting we'll have other entities to join us.
Yeah.
we sure would like to see another.
And we could bring that circle in a little closer too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
All right. Tonight we probably want to discuss a little bit about how we want to proceed with the emergency management director position that's vacant, that Steve was in. There seems to be three ways you could proceed in this. The traditional way would be just to advertise for an emergency management director, and let's just keep it status quo as we're doing now. I know the Sheriff's Department has an interest in assuming the duties. Or there's a third option that I think we've had in the past, and Steve can elaborate a little bit more on it than I can, kind of a public safety role where you have some individual, perhaps our fire chief or whatever, assuming dual functions as a fire chief and public safety. I know we can't vote on it tonight because it's not an agenda item, but I thought we might, you might give me some direction on how we want to proceed.
Yeah, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to hear from Commissioner Spradley. Since he has been in that position and did a really good job with that, I'd like to hear your perspective. What would be your recommendation?
Well, it is, you know, we built up the emergency management to where it is, you know, it was respected and it's an attractive unit for, you know, the Sheriff's Department or fire service, or to keep it as it is. You know, the several things to consider. Florida statute requires that we have a director for emergency management. It allows for the director to be a constitutional officer or someone from within. I'll talk about, you know, the different aspects. If the sheriff were to take over emergency management, they would run the daily operations of emergency management. You know, there are benefits to that, the added equipment and so forth. It would augment what we were trying to do with the search and rescue, with the boats and so forth. 911 is at emergency management, and it's almost a sheriff's substation anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are advantages with that. You know, my concern would be how we would handle it during a disaster, but the county commission is still responsible for disasters. County commission is the only one that can declare an emergency, only one that can declare an evacuation order, and then the county is responsible for the operations during the disaster, the damage assessment and all of the things that we normally do after the disaster. New thing that's coming about now is the requirement, it looks like that the county is going to be responsible for the shelters and the cost for shelters. And where the school board before took responsibility for that and then applied directly to FEMA themselves. We'll have to pay for that to the school board, and then we will be stuck with the 25%. We'll only get the 75%. So that, you know, none of that would change. There are a lot of smaller counties around who have the sheriff that run the emergency management department, and it seemed to run well. It could function perfectly fine as it is now, advertising for a director, or, you know, give Christy the opportunity to advance in that position. I'm torn with the sense that I would hate for the county to lose, you know,
control.
That control, day-to-day control, but I think the relationship with the sheriff is such that, you know, he could certainly benefit from it, and the county may benefit as a whole. So I'm not ready to make a recommendation today, but that, you know, those are some of the things that I consider.
Yeah, but for me, it would be, what is the best thing for Taylor County? What's the best thing for our citizens, for our county? But the one thing that you said I guess it's statutory that only the county can declare a state of emergency and an evacuation. So if somebody else took over, took charge, say if it was the sheriff, then how would you, I guess you'd have to have it somehow worked out so that, I mean, he would understand that.
Well, we would change. We have an ordinance now that probably would not change because it still states that there's those guidelines that follow state law. But the emergency management would need to change their community or their comprehensive emergency management plan, send it to the state, which would outline, as it does now, it outlines what every single department is responsible to do. But whenever you declared an emergency, emergency management would fall back under you or the county, and so they would, you know, if you needed a water tanker wherever, you know, they would still be the one that you would go through. You'd just go through the sheriff rather than the county administrator to have that done. I would recommend if it did go there that some items like the water tanker and the water pump be transferred to, you know, the road department where they could maintain it and so forth. But it's just changing paperwork, really. Yes, sir.
Do we want to delve into some of the weeds tonight, or do we want to schedule this for a workshop setting?
I think
because I have I want to hear what the sheriff says. And I will state what I've been wrestling with is my number one concern. If we have another hurricane event, we have to fund all the cleanup out of the county's coffers to start with. And if you don't dot the I's and cross the T's, then you may not get reimbursed your 75% from FEMA.
That's right.
So I have some questions and need to know. Does the sheriff have adequate reserves to do the cleanup? And the answer probably is no. And I hate to have to be on the hook for millions of dollars and not have the wherewithal to make sure the paperwork is done correctly. So that's my biggest hang up that I'm wrestling with right now. But we need to talk about this thoroughly and give the sheriff a fair hearing.
It needs more time and it needs more data brought to the table.
But it's running fine the way it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's what I'm concerned with. If something happened tonight, they own the ball right on.
Yes, sir.
Good. So there's not a rush to put somebody over.
No, Christy's very knowledgeable, very experienced. Mm-hmm.
She would be doing a lot of the paperwork anyway, wouldn't she?
She did a lot of the paperwork when I was there, yes, sir.
That's what I thought. So the paperwork would be there if she'd handle it just like she handled it on the last emergency.
Yes, sir.
And I want to hear more about the public's safety role, and you know, I just want to hear about all of it. Mm-hmm. Again, I just think what's best for our citizens and our county. I certainly don't know what that is tonight.
I don't know. Yes.
Excuse me. I could elaborate on that, but I mean, we just. I think it would, you know, be better served, like you said, doing it in a workshop or some setting like that. It's not something decision we could make or need to make tonight. And, there are advantages with all of them, and disadvantages.
You might just want to get the discussion going, certainly, in order to proceed with that.
So it's too late to do it for this workshop. Perhaps the next one.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask. Do you want to have the workshop this Thursday, the way it's normally planned? Is that correct?
Work
for it? Did you want work for you?
Okay. I think it does.
What?
Yeah, Thursday night for workshop. Does that work?
Thursday night coming?
Okay.
To discuss this Thursday night?
No. We have not planned the workshop yet.
Yeah, okay.
We had the workshop last Thursday, so we won't have another workshop Thursday. Any particular topics?
Well, that would usually be one.
Okay.
I don't know if we could get this one together by.
Pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. One day.
Since we had one last week, do we need one this week?
That's what I was asking, do you want to have one Thursday or not?
It's the pleasure of the board.
No.
No.
No, no, just paid it out of the month.
It doesn't matter to me.
I mean, I'll come.
I just think since we had the state, the workshop, the state was the previous Thursday.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'd like to see, though, when we're doing things like this and trying to decide, you've got three options here. I really like the comparison and contrast method, mm-hmm. where it's pretty simple. You look at a sheet of paper and you've got all the data there, you know, the pros and the cons and the advantages and disadvantages. That helps me have it simplified. Of course, we can talk in detail, but to see it is very helpful to me.
All right, that's all I have. Yeah, so
I'm going to work up the Thursday night.
You can't guess.
I said, is that what y'all?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not new on this.
Okay. At this time, we're going to go to item 31. Comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If you're here and you want to speak on something that wasn't on the agenda, come to the podium. Come to
Madam
the podium.
Chairman,
what we can hear
in
you.
The man's office. She was sitting in the halls of the Sears Lady.
Can't hear you.
See all of you all.
Can't
we can't hear you either. Turn your mic so I see you. There you go. Turn it up. Come up there now. We can't hear y'all. Your mic's again pointed this way. But this is Amanda's office. She's representing Will Kendrick's age.
All of the Shears.
All of the Shears, I'm sorry. She called out Will Kendrick. But anyway, thank you.
Say ahead.
Yes.
Stan Ridgeway, 901 Riverside, Steen Hatchie. I'd like to commend your engineer and your crews for the kayak ramp at the community center in Steen Hatchie. It is done. They just have to move the barge. It could be used right now. It's a very, very fine facility. You should look at it when you go down, if you go down. It should help with the tourism. I know it will help with the kayak folks that come there on a regular basis. Thank you for that. The second thing, last week the Taylor Chamber and the Natural Plant Society actually put up the sign you authorized at Stephen Springs about only leave footprints, carry off all your trash and all of that. And it looks very good. Mm-hmm. It will help. In talking with Don Taylor while we were looking at where to put it, she brought up to me that she had heard about the spring, she had never seen it. And she is on a state committee over the listing in the maps for springs for Florida. Currently, Taylor County doesn't have a spring listed. She said she would look into sitting Stephen Springs on that list, but I thought there was more than just one spring in Taylor County. This is something that you may want to look into to get on this printing, because they're printing 50,000 maps in locations. And Taylor County doesn't happen in springs.
It does.
It does.
There's ways, this will go out all over. It's a chance to bring more tourists here.
Okay, well, we need to identify. We used to have a place called Waldo Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what actually happened to Waldo Springs? Mr. Moody, do you know, since you're down that road?
Over the years, it's in the hunting club now. You can't even drive down there. But over the years, it just filled in. It's got so much residue in it, it don't really flow like it used to. And but there are several springs up and down these rivers. And, you know, that could be on the list. You go looking around.
Are they like Stephen Springs that perhaps they could be renovated so they could be usable?
Yeah. There's another one on the beach road there. on the left, going toward Eden Beach. It's
that's
on state land.
Rivers.
What's the name of that spring? I haven't been there.
Bradley Springs. That's in Four Rivers.
Yeah, land. That's in Four Rivers land.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's closed off.
It is closed off right now.
Yeah.
But now is the time, if you want to add things to that, to Don Taylor is well aware of what's going on. And this would be the time for somebody to have input with him.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
What happened to Bruce Spring Lake? I remember we used to go around there and fish and hunt.
Four Rivers closed it up.
Oh, that belonged to Buckeye at one time?
Well, yeah. It belonged to Fox and Gallant. And then they sold the Clothing Land and Timber, and then they sold the Four Rivers. Now, Four Rivers, they had a lawsuit years ago. It's the reason they, the liability aspect, the reason they closed it up, they told me. Uh-huh. And a youngin' got hurt on a picnic table. Somebody had run into it with a truck or something, and some of the concrete was laying loose, and it fell over on a little child and crippled him up, and one thing or another. That's when it got closed up. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But it's a big old red under here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Soft shells there.
Let's go poaching one night, Thomas.
So,
let's go poaching one night.
I'm not ready.
I have one last thing. On July 27th, Friday evening at 6 o'clock, the Steinhatchee FEMA AARP is having a political forum for the people that we will vote on in county and district 3, and also for the people that will represent FEMA in Dixie. The forum will start at 6. There will be light refreshments, and everybody is invited. It will be advertised. Any comments that you may want to give to the team and I to help make it better, we're receptive.
Where will it be?
At the community center. And
date again?
27th. July 27th.
You're going to get a letter.
Good.
Update on the community center renovations. The drop ceiling's in, the lights are in, the walls have been painted, original art is going up on the walls. They're being the project for, we're now looking at replacing the flooring, the linoleum. They're getting pricing and so forth, and then going back to the projects board, and then they will replace it. No cost to the county.
It looks really, really nice.
It's very nice.
The remodeling, yes.
And the acoustics are better, and the air conditioning unit doesn't run as much now. Don't ask me why. I was in a meeting there this morning, and the lights are all
LED.
The special ones. So you should start seeing a reduction in their revenue.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. If not, then we will go to item 32, board informational items. Commissioner Moody.
I haven't got a lot to say. I appreciate everybody coming. It's been a pleasure to work with the board. Everybody worked together good. There are several things that have been brought up to me about the fourth Capitol Hall. And I mentioned it to Ted the other day. Some veterans asked me about not having a flag on the flagpole outside. There's a flagpole there by the door, but there's no flag. And one of them was a POW, and he said, I'd love to see a flag on that flagpole. And I don't know whose responsibility that is to take it in and out, but it needs to have one. And I know before the meeting the other day, they had cleaned up around the building. It needed weed and trash picking up and all that, but they did clean up before that the other day. They mentioned somebody, and they cleaned up around there, but there was a lot of master gardeners, I reckon, doing a bunch of planting and stuff, and they just put black containers out after they put the plants out and stuff, and it kind of got away with it. But two gentlemen called me about it before it got lost. And they said, one of them said, the parking lot driveway had a lot of holes in it, somebody might fall down in. And I've gotten a patch on that before, but I mentioned to them the other day about doing some more patching out there. So maybe not. But that flag really got away with them. There was one inside, but they were outside, and I, you know.
Need a flag.
Need a flag, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about all I got.
You know, we discussed flags about a month ago when I reported that the flag at the courthouse was torn and tattered, and we had the one at the sports complex to be. And so at that time we discussed having someone responsible for flags, replacement of flags and everything. And has that been implemented?
I'm working on that. I know the airport came out with a new flag. We were out there the other day.
We'll be sending out a reminder to everyone every 6 months, just reminding them to check their flag. It's on my calendar, and we'll send it out to all the department heads to make sure that they, it's just a reminder every 6 months for them to look at their flags and please replace it if it needs.
Okay, so do we have a flag available to give it to them if theirs needs to be replaced?
Most of the time the departments will order flags and have spares available. But I mean, we can, it's typically in their budget, in their operational budget, but that should not be an issue.
Okay, so at the courthouse then, who would be responsible for that one?
That would be Mr. Greiner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the Forest Capitol Hall, have we talked to the director out there to make sure that that's put into place?
We questioned why there wasn't a flag on the flagpole, and we were told that they had purchased flags numerous times and they kept disappearing and getting stolen. So we're trying to figure out a way to secure them. Yeah. So that's not an issue. I don't understand.
If they would put it up in the morning when they went to work, take it down when they left, it probably wouldn't get missing, you know?
I don't know if it's missing off the flat. I'm still struggling with it. If it's missing off the flagpole or if it goes missing from
inside.
The building inside.
Right.
I
like your idea. You know, if it's put up in the morning and took down that afternoon.
It don't take that big a deal to put one up and take it down.
Of course, then, you know, you've got the weekend and...
Right.
Holidays there would not be a flag there, so
we don't have one here, you know, on the weekends and holidays either. Mm-hmm. I mean, we bring it in, they bring it in, they put it out every morning, bring it in, and it's not, it needs to be illuminated if it's there at night, so
right.
Can't you leave it out if you got a light on?
Illuminated, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we just mount a 20 light there by off the building right there and just put it up there and leave it up there? I mean that would be, I mean, they could pull it up with a chain and get on the ladder and lock the chain up there high enough, somebody could walk up, get over the chain and put a light on it, and you know, it serves a purpose.
It's all working on it.
We are.
Okay.
Wait, we'll make it work.
Let's do something to, you know, the two different people mentioned it, yeah, pretty important.
Yes, it is very important.
Well, I know at the Foley event that was out there, the Foley reunion, mm-hmm. They made a statement that there wasn't a flag there. They had to go buy one. Well, there's a flag in there that just didn't know, you know, it was in an office, and, you know, maybe it was our foresight, I don't know, should have brought it out for that event. But there was a flag inside, you know.
Right.
They criticized it, but it just was not in, you know, where they would use it. And that's something maybe as we get our community services director, that's what she can.
And one of them add-on?
One of those add-on,
you know, add-on
responsibilities for her.
This is very important, and our veterans do notice our flags.
Sure.
Because I get calls about it, and we need to be very responsible. We're
with our flags. Commissioner Page.
I have a couple of things I want to share with the board. As you know, after our workshop last Thursday morning, that afternoon from 5:30 to 7:30, the Ikenfeni River State Park officials had a meeting down at the Ikenfeni Landing in their building, mainly a citizens meeting. And I had received an invitation from the folks to go both to that meeting and the subsequent meeting, mainly for officials, on the following day, Friday morning. And the first meeting was attended by, I would say, 25 people. Some are staff people from the various agencies have to do with that little part. And there were a number of our citizens there, including quite a contingent from our equestrian community. And they spoke about the trail. I think in the uplands part of that park, there's 12 miles of trails, which needs some undergrowth cut out, and these folks volunteered to help and so forth and so on. Then the citizens gathered input on what they thought needed to be done. And my pitch to that group, to the state agencies, was to do what you can to help our equestrian community. Because they've been to the county commission meeting, as you recall, and they need a place to be able to ride their horses. And then Friday, the meeting was shorter. It was more a high level group. The staff was taking notes of all the suggestions that had been made. And I will add that in addition to those two meetings, to approve this 10-year site plan, there's still a 2-week window where you can comment. And I thought I had done a good job and said all the appropriate things and tried to assist our citizens, the creditors. And I got a nasty email from a local citizen of the community of Ikenfeni saying that that was the stupidest idea that she ever heard a commissioner make, was to say something in favor of the equestrian community, that was a fishing and a boat ramp community. And we all ought to, I should have been talking about the boardwalks and expanding the park and blah, blah, blah. And she was adamantly opposed to spending any more county money down there. And I replied, sorry you missed the meeting. No county funds were expended. You don't spend county money on the state park. And I'll forward your comments to my contacts at DOT. So sometimes, Steve, if you haven't learned yet, this could be a thankless job. You think you're doing something great.
Amen.
I felt so good about it, you know. You got it too?
Yes.
I'll tell you, I don't know those folks, but I look forward to meeting them. So anyway, another thing, I'm changing gears now, I'll talk about the landfill a little bit. Very seldom miss a landfill board meeting. It's kind of nice when the chair shows up at the meeting, you know. But I had a procedure the other day at a regularly scheduled Osceola landfill board meeting, and there was an issue that was sort of critical that we needed to take care of, and that the scales were about to break any minute. And when you don't have scales at a landfill, you're in a bad spot. You got to weigh the trucks elsewhere.
A weighty problem, huh?
That was a weighty problem, to say the least. And there was not a quorum, because two other commissioners out of the four, but there's only one person who was able to go. So it was suggested that perhaps each commission should appoint an emergency person, an alternate, I guess is the right word. Yeah, just go and cast a vote in an emergency situation. So throw that out, and at our next workshop, maybe we'll select somebody to be an alternate, because you never know when this is going to happen. And anyway, we scheduled an emergency meeting the following week and had a full board present, and we dealt with the business of buying a new scale. So hopefully this one we got won't break before the other one gets installed. That and some other business.
And then in addition to that, I got an email from the director of the landfill. Got it on Monday of this past week. Sunday afternoon, the, you know, it's dry, hot weather, the landfill caught on fire. Mm-hmm. And the Greenville Fire Department responded. Here's the open face. Usually they have an open face, maybe 75 by 75 feet square at the top. And they put all the trash in. I don't know how it caught on fire, but that's kind of a bad deal. So our administrator got his people in there, and they contacted Sam Boyer and all enough dirt. They put a foot of dirt on all that top to make sure that fire was out. So I'd hate to know if that landfill would sit there and smolder for days on end. But took care of that. And I commended our landfill director for, on a weekend, taking decisive good action to stop that. And again, I'll reiterate what Commissioner Moody says. It's a great honor and privilege to be able to serve with a board that gets along. And if we don't agree, we are nice about our disagreements. Each of us votes our conscience. And it's just a real pleasure, even though I don't appreciate some of these emails I get. Thank you.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of ad girls and ad boys in this job.
No, there are not.
Commissioner Dix.
I reckon I can echo what y'all said, but I told the people when they elected me, you call me, I'll be your commissioner. So I take your comments, your criticism, or whatever it might be, like a champ. All of my would be honest, and I do the best I can for them. And be sure that they are represented on this council. Okay.
Commissioner Spradley.
I want to thank the board and thank everyone for coming. And I truly appreciate the opportunity. I've watched the board throughout the years and admired how, you know, you make difficult decisions at all the meetings, and I just hope and pray that I am up to the challenge. I intend to work hard for the people in District 3 and for all of Taylorville. And I pledge that I'll do everything I can to get along with the board and make intelligent and informed decisions and not be combative. I was just reciprocal. But I thank everyone for this opportunity, and I look forward to the coming weeks and months working on the board. Thank you.
Okay, now just remember, if you become combative, we know how to take care of you.
I know.
Shut you down.
Madam Clerk, do you have anything? Mr. Bishop?
I'm going out of the country. On the 11th through the 20th, I'm going to London.
Oh, good. You're going to the wedding?
I got an invitation, but I RSVP'd, so okay. I couldn't go. I'll tell you this, and I talked to Lawanda. She says, you can't go. I said, I'm going. If you need anything, Conrad III or Sonny, hopefully we'll be at the office while the boss is gone. And I also told Lawanda, too, that she can call Mike Smith or Tommy Reeves, who's a good friend of mine in Madison. I planned it so that I wouldn't miss any meetings, so don't have any disasters, don't have any special meetings and so forth, but there will be a cell phone, you know, if something really needs to be. I ain't flying back, but I'll certainly talk, okay? And I would tell you that this, and speaking to Steve, I just, congratulations, Steve, from the poor old county attorney. And I really enjoyed working with you as the emergency management director. And I remember you when you were a deputy. You know, the rest of my poor old clients too. But anyway, and congratulations on being a county commissioner. I look forward to working with you. And I appreciate this board. I appreciate the job. And we're going to move on as far as Taylor County. We're going to get things done, right?
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yes.
That's all I have to say.
Ms. Pemberton? Mr. Lakey?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Sometimes you do things, you try to wait until some people might leave and some won't. And,
he's not leaving, so. The best comes last, right, Aaron?
I'm sure you've all heard of the Volkswagen problem that they've had. And they put just millions and millions of dollars in funds. It's being distributed among states. Florida right now is, if you go pick up that phone right there and go to Florida DEP, and you can see something that says Volkswagen or something.
Yep.
And there's a survey in there they want done. There's been one in Taylor County done. One. And all that money can be used for is diesel. Not a generator, a diesel truck, electric cars and that kind of stuff. But when I submitted mine, I have a little comment space in there, and I put, of course it talks about different classes of diesel trucks, and I put cabin chassis for ambulances. So you may want to, and then what will happen is, you can get on the mailing list so that you'll be able to follow what's going on up there. But there's a lot of money, a lot of money. And the county uses diesel trucks, expensive diesel trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage at least the one to get on that list and get the information as it comes in, since no one else in Taylor County is doing it.
It's not directly tied to Volkswagen diesels as the
some of
problem
it is.
Was?
Some of it is. What's happened? My contact at the state said that people she works with have turned that vehicle in and gotten more for it than they paid. And there's also another group up there that are just waiting, driving it to the last day, then they're going to turn it in and get paid for it. But there is that pool for vehicles, but there's another pool for they don't know yet. And they're looking, right now they're looking for suggestions.
Is this the state mitigation plan?
Pardon?
The state mitigation plan?
No. Did you do what I said?
Yes, sir.
Put it in Florida DEP?
Yes.
Go to their home plan.
There's a settlement, Florida mitigation plan.
You may go to DEP homepage. And then it may take you there. But anyhow, it gets you to this survey.
Okay.
And it says, you know, what county and that type of thing. But you don't need to write that.
It was on the news.
You just can't wait too long, you know.
If you come up with any more money out there or anything, let us know. Again, I want to welcome you to the board. It can be a very rewarding job, and it can be a very difficult job. I guess if you sit back and you don't do anything except attend meetings, you're probably going to make somebody mad. But if you
get out and you really work, you're going to make a lot of people mad, probably. So it's just one of those things that, you know, whatever, what you do. But anyway, it's an honor and a privilege for me to serve, and I've enjoyed working with this board. I agree with Commissioner Page and Commissioner Moody that we have a very good working board. We get along and we seem to work out issues and do what's best for Taylor County. I want to thank the staff this evening for the job that you do, and I want to thank all the visitors for being here, and please come back again. And I appreciate the newspaper for being fair, and I appreciate our sheriff's department for protecting us, and all our regulars and irregulars that show up, we appreciate you being here. Anybody else have anything to say?
No, I think just talk before you leave.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.